Rocco Review. It's the Rocco Review.
And we're back with Harper Levenger. You want to say hi?
Hi.
So, Harper, today I want to ask you a couple questions about love. Do you love boys and girls?
Kind of. Yes.
Yes. And, like, the same? Do you love boys and girls in the same way?
Yeah.
Do you like playing with boys and girls?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you feel any different about any of them? Okay, you know Christmas time?
Yeah.
Do you feel like that's a time when you want to tell everybody how much you love them? Or what do you love
about? Valentine's Day is when I like to tell you I love you.
Thank you. Thank you. You just proved my point without even knowing it.
Josh and Nate review the movies that you don't know if you like.
Okay. Hey, how's it going?
This is the first time the cast is being done in Nate's home.
Yeah, we're at the station.
Mm-hmm.
As it were.
Studio. We're at the studio.
It does feel like a little bit of a... Okay, wait. We're getting some red there.
Uh-oh. All
right, uh-oh. That's better.
Reverb.
So we just watched...
Love Actually.
Love Actually, which is one of my favorite Roccos, because I thought, as we said last week, we are going to delve into
the history of Roccos.
The history of Roccos and what we feel is what we're searching for in the other movies. Now,
what we hope for.
Yeah.
The paragon.
Our hopes and dreams.
For the Rocco.
Now, I love this movie.
Mm-hmm. As many people do. Many people love this movie.
Yeah. But going into this movie, I knew that you were going to give me guff on this movie.
I didn't give you guff. I gave the movie guff.
Yeah, you definitely, you definitely gave.
Yeah.
Well, in any event, this movie, just to, for those who haven't seen it, we'll give you a little brief overview.
Mm-hmm.
I have these note cards that can even, like, seem like...
There's nothing related to the movie on it.
It's just
but...
casting directors' names. yeah, so let's talk about Ruth Lambert. Right?
That's a very inside joke you're making. She's... since no one can see what you're doing right now.
Yeah, they don't even know. She's the casting director, just so people know, of Life and Times of Tim.
And for some reason, Nate has her name on an index card.
Yeah, these are, you know, I'm in the biz.
Mm-hmm.
That
proves it. Nothing says more.
That's all you need. Just that.
Right, a bunch of people's names on an index card. I had no idea it was so easy to get in the biz.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, it's much harder once you progress past the index card part.
Oh, wow. What's next?
Next is like trying to meet those people.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I can imagine that would be harder.
Yeah. But the first step, that's pretty easy.
Yeah.
You know?
Everyone should try it. Come on down to Hollywood.
So, okay, this movie is centered around Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, according to this movie, is the holiday for admitting you love people.
Yeah.
Or admitting just...
Telling the truth.
Right, telling the truth.
Yeah.
If you're not going to do it on Christmas, when are you? According to this movie.
Yeah.
I have a few other days I could think of.
No, that's pretty much it. Easter... Flag Day.
And what about Valentine's Day?
No, you keep your feelings pretty close to the vest on Valentine's Day.
Okay.
Now,
mm-hmm.
It's interesting. I get a lot of like
feedback.
No, it's just very, my voice sounds very radio, whereas yours doesn't.
Oh, well, okay.
No. Here.
Way to dig.
Put this on.
That's all right. No? That's all right.
You can listen to
whatever.
It.
Whatever. I know I don't have a radio voice.
That's not what I mean. All right, whatever.
Okay.
So this movie takes place in London. London town.
London, England town.
And there's a huge cast of characters. I mean, there's probably at least six different couples that it's centering around.
Many.
Yeah. And they all, some of them know each other and somehow they fit in with each other.
And you'd think with this many characters, they wouldn't be able to really devote a whole storyline to each one, you know, flesh it out.
Yeah.
And you'd be right, because there's really only broad strokes.
It's definitely broad strokes, but I feel like there's things in there. Well, let's go through the different people, right?
Okay.
Okay. So the first thing that I have, I wrote some notes while we were taking this.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that I have on here is Liam Neeson. I won't reveal what it says after that. We'll
hold
get
on.
To that.
I just want to say you did write notes and you begrudgingly wrote them when I asked you to write them because you disagreed with my notes and you gave me a look and almost didn't write them a couple times. So,
yeah, well, you could have taken your own notes.
Well, you only gave me one pen. There's only one. I didn't have a pen.
Okay. All right, that's true. Bert's come over. Bert's interested in giving some thoughts.
He wants to defend me. Bert's the cat.
Well, the movie, I guess, actually, we'll get to Liam Neeson because the first thing that happens in the movie is there's a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the wedding is, I don't know his name. He's the lead actor in The Walking Dead. And he's
the black guy
married.
Is?
No. Oh, yeah. I mean the other guy, the best friend, the best man.
Oh, okay. Well, he's not getting married.
The black guy, I'm not certain. Okay,
the black guy's the one getting married.
He's getting married to Keira Knightley.
Mm-hmm.
And the Walking Dead guy is the best man. And it's this very elaborate, recessional? Is that what you call that? When they get married and then they go out, normally it's like...
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a recessional.
Sounds like a good name. Okay.
Yeah. Recessionals when you come in and recessionals when you go out.
That makes sense. You're receding.
I forgot. You're Jewish.
But I wasn't raised Jewish, so I don't know anything. Don't ask
me. Were you raised with any sort of religion?
Yeah, I was raised.
Do you got religion?
What's that?
Yeah.
I was raised Christian.
I just want to know if I'm talking with a heathen or not.
Oh. You are. Because I have released myself of religion.
Okay.
But I was raised Christian.
Yeah, okay.
So
maybe you should know about this. Yeah, processional music.
Listen, I'm a human. I know about processional music.
But you didn't know about recessionals. That was a
Didn't know the name.
Okay,
that's
all. Right. Anyway.
Okay, that's
fine. Okay, normally it's like, here comes the bride, and then when they go out, it's that wedding march. I think it's by Handel or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that one. The one I just sang before,
impeccably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But instead, they sang All We Need Is Love by the Beatles, mm-hmm. and it was like... Very, I said to you at the time, this is like, this only happens in a movie.
Right.
Because.
Everyone's pulling out instruments.
Yeah, there's like everyone in the audience, what do you call it? I don't know, maybe it's the audience. Someone that watches a wedding.
Uh-huh.
Oh, guests. The wedding guests.
Yes, that's it. You're religious. You should know that.
I know, we're total theater nerds. Like the audience.
For this show.
You know when the bride and groom walk down the VOMs? Yeah.
yeah.
Anyway, so that mm-hmm. happens. That opens the movie. And yeah.
And then the weirdest part of all is Laura Linney is there and walks up to the best man who they never speak again the entire movie. So do they know each other? I don't know.
Right.
And she's like, you're in love with him, aren't you? Well, he's not even gay. So why doesn't she assume he's in love with Keira Knightley, which he is?
I think it's a little trick up Richard Curtis's sleeve.
Okay,
there,
but you can't
make you think he's gay.
Yeah, but you can't have a trick if it doesn't make any sense. That just means it doesn't make any sense. He isn't gay. If she knows him, she knows he isn't gay.
Okay, listen.
All right.
Isn't one thing that happens at weddings
that
I know this is going to be the first like confrontational one where we all the other movies we've seen, all four other, we've been on the same side, and this one we're clearly in different camps.
Will we survive it? Will there be another podcast?
So when you go to a wedding,
mm-hmm.
You want to meet people if you're single, right? So and you'll flirt with people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was her way of sort of going up and
her
you
way
know.
Of flirting is to tell her
the backward way
in love
of flattering
with someone else.
Yeah,
that's not gonna work.
I know. Well, also, okay, let's introduce Laura Linney, okay? Because Laura Linney isn't having a great love life.
No,
Laura Linney works in. I guess we're gonna jump around in terms mm-hmm. of some of these topics.
She works in an unspecified, much like the rest of the script, office. We don't know where she works.
You know what? I feel like it's a MacGuffin, though. It's not important, okay? All it's important
is
that it's at work, okay?
Come on. So you're allowed to just do that? They work here in an office.
Who cares? Who cares where
Come
they
on.
Work? What is it important?
To build a life, create a reality.
Look, this isn't like, you know, Legally Blonde, where it's like integral to the plot, you know, what the profession is, okay? This is about love.
I disagree. Go on.
Okay, so she works at this office, and she's been in love with the whole time this guy named Carl.
Mm-hmm.
And
her boss calls her in.
Her boss, Alan Rickman, mm-hmm. calls her in and is like, how long have you been in love with Carl? Mm-hmm. And it's basically the entire time that she's worked there.
Right, because that's a conversation every boss has with their employee.
Yeah, so this is the first thing that we can talk about before we get to the other couples is let's talk about love at work, okay? First off, have you ever had a love at work situation?
I don't.
You ever dated someone at work?
I don't know.
Yeah. I did have people you? At work before. Yeah, more than once. Yeah. It's weird.
It is weird.
It's because, like, everyone knows that you're going to do it. That's what people do.
Everyone knows?
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't mean you do it, like, have sex. Oh, you know? I mean, like, you're going to date at work.
Oh.
Because where do people meet people, right? There's only a few places you meet people.
So where did you meet these people?
I met them at work. Oh, what works?
Mm-hmm.
The first time I did was... You know, when I was lifeguarding, I could have dated people at work, and I felt weird about it. Because mm-hmm. I was, and this is the other, this is a subtopic that we're going to talk about concerning Alan Rickman, is I was the boss at one point, and there was a girl that I was like, she likes me. I like her.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt weird because I was like the manager, and she was like under me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like
that would be weird. How old were you, teenagers?
I was in college, and I think she was still in high school.
Oh, wow.
But I just got, I mean, I was a freshman or sophomore.
Sure, yeah. Whatever. So tell it to the police. But you didn't go out with her.
No, I didn't. I didn't. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, in retrospect, that's one of, I wish that I did, because I don't see why I didn't, you know.
Right.
Second time was I worked at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Mm.
And there was a girl that we briefly dated, and but I was she put it out there more than I did. Like I basically asked her out, knowing that she was going to see. She kind of
right.
was like, you should ask me out, kind of.
Jeez, yeah. These forceful ladies.
I know, right? And then let's see. Then when I was in New York, I definitely asked out this one girl, and that was just. I mean, we went out on what I felt were a bunch of dates.
And she didn't think they were dates?
She acted like they weren't later on, and I think that was bullshit.
Was there any kissing?
There was not kissing, but there was me paying for stuff.
Mm.
And there was things like we'd went ice skating. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like
you don't go ice skating with friends.
Do you? When's the last time you've gone ice skating
with
your
friends? Well, I don't go
there weren't
ice skating,
other girls,
period.
You know? Yeah.
I don't do that.
Well,
but I'd go
California
roller
now,
skating.
So, yeah.
If you and I were to go roller skating, we wouldn't consider it a date.
No, that's true. Well, you're married.
Too. Well,
yeah. So,
no.
Yeah.
If we weren't.
I mean, that's pretty hot and heavy. Roller skating? Come on. No, there's something romantic about ice skating, though, that there isn't about roller skating, you know? Roller skating is kind of nostalgic, but I feel like ice skating is romantic.
I think that's a Nate Shulkey Well, factoid.
I mean, that's how I feel.
Okay.
Let me think. And then where else? And then this last day job that I had, I thought about asking out a girl there, but I didn't, because I didn't know necessarily how to get that done. Because it's weird. Because I think where it happens most of the time, you work long hours, and then you're gonna. There's going to be like, let's go to the bar afterwards or
I
something
see.
Like that, you know.
This is making me feel like I haven't had any jobs.
What? Did
I
you ever have
weird,
a day job?
Had
you had a
lot.
Day job
yeah,
at some point,
of course.
Right?
I tempt a lot.
Yeah. That's the thing. I feel like, and so let's segue into the boss thing. Because I was wondering while watching this movie, how many times does that happen where the underling... And the boss go out, you know? Because I feel like...
Did that happen here? Oh, right, with the prime minister.
Well, they didn't actually do... No, but even that, and then also with Alan Rickman and his... Okay, two more couples.
Secretary.
Let's introduce two more couples.
Let me just tell... Okay. Yeah. No, there's this... I had this one really gross boss who... Mm-hmm. He was gross. That's all.
Well, he asked you out. Chloe,
well, no, but he...
Or made comments.
He realized that he... That
you
I had...
harassed?
Well, no, I wasn't. But he realized I had a boyfriend after he hired me.
Okay.
And I saw his face, like he turned angry in the face. And literally
That's amazing. He turned angry in the face.
He did. He turned stone face. And from that moment on, he treated me differently.
Right.
Like, it was as if he thought, oh, I'm going to hire you and we're going to go do it. And we're both on the same page. And no, we weren't.
Yeah.
Mister. All right.
Oh, well, that sounds horrible that he was so angry in the face.
He was very angry in the face. And then he fired me. He fired me over speakerphone. And I kept pretending not to hear him because I wanted. He obviously left the office to fire me because he was too scared to do it in person. Yeah. So I kept pretending I couldn't hear him. I was like, you're cutting out.
That's awesome.
So that he would keep having to say it. All right.
Didn't quite get that last word.
Yeah. What? What do you mean?
All right. Wait, so, okay, wait, but he put you on speakerphone. You you had your phone.
We were on speakerphone. We were in the office of the HR person.
Oh, you were with
the HR person. And they put him on speakerphone.
Oh, yeah. I see.
He
left.
He purposely, he could have had this meeting before, but he purposely. I love that
the HR person, were they sort of amused that you were saying you couldn't hear her?
No, she was very HR, and she was stressed out. You could tell she didn't like this at all.
Yeah.
I knew.
Yeah, whenever the firing takes place, it's always, the HR people are very worried. Lawsuits and all of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they should have been in this case, but.
Well, no, and then this is the case. Like, I feel like if you're the boss, and then there's someone, you know, who works for you, I just feel like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like that's very difficult to happen nowadays. Like, that was such a cliche thing to happen, like, of our parents' generation.
The secretary. And the,
You know? It's like now, it just be weird.
Really?
No, I don't know. I think you think it still happens?
Yeah. I think it happens all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, whatever. So, okay, let's move on with the couples.
What are in your notes here?
No, that's what I was going to go to. Okay.
Well, don't skip over my notes.
No, I'm not going to skip over your notes. Well. Okay, we'll start at the beginning. We have, Liam Neeson, the first thing that you said to me was, dead wife. Now, you didn't even realize.
Well, I said I loved him because he has a dead wife.
That's the reason that you love him, yeah.
Well, it makes him.
Sympathetic character.
I love sad people. No. I mean, yeah, it makes him. Makes me want to love him.
Yeah.
Make him feel better.
Yeah.
Why'd you glance over there?
Oh, it's just to see that we're still recording.
Okay.
But he really
does have a dead wife in this movie.
In the movie, yeah. And so that's, but this is before he had a dead wife in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I kept wondering if he watches this movie back ever and thinks like, oh, I should have played that differently. I know, it's terrible. When I say it out loud like that,
we should redo the movie. Yeah. I know what it feels like now.
Yeah. That's not how it would have looked.
Okay, well, another person that you love this movie is Hugh Grant.
Yes.
Now, Hugh Grant plays the Prime Minister, and he is single, which doesn't normally happen. And in fact, I think in the U.S., it's only happened once.
With
Martin
who?
Van Buren. Was
oh, really?
Single.
Hmm.
And,
pulling that fact out.
Yeah. I think there were some widowers. If you're a male, it's widower, right? Women are widows.
Yes.
Male or widow.
Yes.
There's been some widowers,
mm-hmm.
but there's only been one single dude.
Hmm.
And
what year was that?
I mean, that was like in the 1880s or something.
Yeah, I don't
like
think
that.
It would happen today.
Yeah. But that has been fodder for Rokas before, because we've had the American president.
Right. He was a widower, right?
Yeah, he was. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's the way they normally do it.
But actually, I think, like, isn't there someone, like, isn't the Canada prime minister single?
I don't even know who the current one is.
Is he a prime minister or president?
He's prime minister.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, he's single, and, gosh, that makes dating hard, right?
Yeah. Where are you going to meet anyone? First person he sees, and guess what? Falls in love immediately.
Okay,
everyone here falls in love immediately. All right,
the time period of this movie is over 5 weeks till Christmas. That's the frame of this movie. Mm-hmm. Now, my question, and I was going to say to you, you find a problem with that. You find that that's way too quickly.
Listen, 5 weeks, if you're getting to know somebody, fine. Even 2 weeks, if you're talking, consistently fine.
Okay, so you first off,
dating.
Okay,
how about even dating?
Then the movie Valentine's Day is, I was going to say, is ridiculous because it takes place in one day.
Yeah.
How can you fall in love with someone day? So I'm getting from you that you don't believe in love at first sight. You think that's bullshit.
Yes, right. Love. Okay. Lust. Infatuation. But what about when you hang out together? No, I'm not going to propose to somebody that I've never spoken to. Right. Like this conference.
People do, haven't though. Even gone. People
well,
do.
Those people are bipolar. They're in a manic phase.
Right.
And it's never going to last.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry.
No, I mean, people. I'm with you. And then I'm always surprised when you have some friend and they're like, oh, you know, and if it ever is one of those like 3 week, you know, kind of things.
Well, listen, but no, I've always fallen in love quickly. When it happens quickly, but we're meeting, we're dating, we're seeing each other. You know, we don't, I don't consider it falling in love if you're just like, oh, where's my tea? Here it is.
Hugh Grant falls in love with this woman who is his, what was his maid? Not maid, but.
Maid. Wasn't
what
his,
is she like?
His secretary.
Secretary?
Isn't it?
One of his secretaries? Because the older woman I feel like is the maid.
Well, he's a lot of.
He's a lot of
I didn't
staff.
Notice, yeah, yeah, I didn't notice any maids.
Yeah. I don't. What do you call her?
Assistant.
Assistant. Okay. Yeah, assistant. Okay. All right. Okay. Now
you've obviously never had a maid.
I never have. Yes. I've had an assistant. I've never had a maid before.
You've had an assistant.
I have. Yeah.
When?
Yeah. I briefly, like when I was in advertising, I had an assistant.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. That's interesting. So, did you fall in love with them?
No, not enough time. Yeah.
See? Point proven.
No, okay. Something that goes along with Liam Neeson. Liam Neeson has a son.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to, well, it's stepson.
And we don't even know he's the stepson until the last minute of the movie.
We don't find out until like the last moment. It's just thrown in there.
Like everything else.
It's very strange.
It's very, no, that's my stepson. What?
It's important.
What, 2 hours later?
That, you know what that feels like? That feels like that was something from real life. That he like just threw in. It was like, oh, this is this couple that I knew, and it was his stepson. So I have to put that he's his stepson, or else it makes no sense. I feel like that's the only reason that people cling to details that just aren't important is because they're from real life.
I know. His name was
Kevin. He has to be Kevin. You know, doesn't make any sense.
I don't know.
Well, anyway, he has this little kid.
Mm-hmm.
Kid's probably what, 10, 11, something.
They
like
say
that.
He's 11. He looks about 8.
Yeah. Well, this kid falls in love with this girl in his class, mm-hmm. and he says that he's in love. And so this is a topic that I have in here somewhere.
Now him, yeah, go
when
ahead.
When did you first fall in love?
And, oh, you're asking me?
Yeah,
well,
I'm
first of all,
you.
Let me just say.
Can you fall in love at 11 years old? Yeah.
Jeez. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a tough question. Yeah. You're asking the tough questions.
I have to.
I mean, let's put it this way. Everyone in this movie is treating love as if they were 11-year-olds. So, yes, I guess.
Well, here's what I think about love is that I think that's how it goes. Is that, like, you fall in love for the first time. You think that that's love,
mm-hmm.
right? Fall in love another time. You're like, that wasn't love. This was love. And it keeps on going like that till you finally find love. I haven't found love yet. That's that's my theory on it.
You mean that's sad.
No, I don't need that.
No,
you don't need
to
pity
that.
Me. It's fine.
Wait, you're saying you've never been in love because...
No, I've been in love many times.
Oh.
But I'm saying that each time it gets worse or better, depending on how you mm-hmm. look at it, you realize that the time before that wasn't... You feel something stronger, you know, or whatever.
Each time it's stronger?
I mean, like when you have a big relationship.
I see.
You know, I feel like you can meet someone and be like, oh, like I... starting to fall for this girl,
mm-hmm.
and that's not necessarily love yet, but I mean when you fall in love,
mm-hmm.
you're like, oh, I'm really in love, like
mm-hmm.
the times before I this feels stronger than that.
I see. Well, maybe you just don't remember.
I know. And I also don't like when people when you break up or something, they'll try to take back their feelings, and they'll say like,
I never loved you.
Yeah, or something like that.
Someone said that to you?
Yeah, someone
said
that to me.
No,
yeah.
That's terrible.
I know, and when I call bullshit, because at the time, you know they were. You know
right.
And they just, it's revisionist,
oh,
and it's bullshit.
Awful. Oh, It's sorry. Okay,
you know, whatever. I'm sorry. You move on. Look.
You live, you learn.
Alanis is right.
Anyway,
okay.
In conclusion of that topic, yeah. I just would like to say that I think maybe you can.
Yeah, you totally skirted my issue in terms of what how many issue? Times have you been in love?
You when never did you first asked
find
that.
Love? Well, I said, when did you first find love?
Fall in suddenly love. Very personal. I would look, say...
you asked me if I had ever had an assistant. That was pretty personal.
Right. Touche. I was 15, I guess. Okay. It's a real big story, but I won't bore us because we are already 24 minutes.
I know. We have a lot to get through here, too. Okay.
But it was quite something. It could be a roco in and of itself, that yeah. story.
How so. Did you... someone at school?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Someone at school. Yeah. That's all. That was real love. It was.
No, I think those are. I think those yeah. teenage stuff's real, you know. 11 years old, no, I don't think it is, but, you know.
I mean, maybe it is. Maybe it's just very immature just because I mean, you don't know. That's
not that far removed from, like, you used to chase guys and the girls would chase little but girls 11, around the playground and stuff.
Yeah, you may be I mean? In puberty at that point, though. It's happening earlier.
That's true. Ugh. Okay, right, this is something. Let's move on. Okay. Oh, I wrote down this, like, brothers cheating. Oh, right. Colin Firth, another character. So many characters in here.
Yeah.
Colin Firth in the opening of the movie, he leaves to go to this wedding, and then he comes back for something, and then he finds that his wife has been...
It's his wife?
Oh, or is it his girlfriend? Maybe his girlfriend, yeah. His girlfriend is cheating on him with his brother.
Right.
Which I thought was pretty crazy.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
You know. Can I just quickly get to the problem with this entire movie?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, very, as briefly as I can, I'm just going to tell you. Colin Firth's entire storyline. He's deeply in love with his girlfriend. Can't stop telling her he loves her enough. Over and over and over and over.
Yeah.
She's cheating. They break up. 2 weeks later, he's in love with someone else. She doesn't even speak English, this girl. No right. English.
He
doesn't
every speak day any with Spanish.
Her. Not speaking. Spending every day not speaking.
Yeah, yeah.
Then he learns her language and proposes all within 3 weeks after he broke up with the girl that he couldn't stop telling him.
I know.
Well, if someone told me this, a friend called me up, this is what happened, I'd be like, okay, I didn't realize you were crazy.
Yeah. First off, when people go to foreign countries, they do get crazy. They do.
He wasn't in a foreign... Oh,
yes, when he was. He was in France. Hello.
Writing on a typewriter, his novel, because it was 1893. Colin Firth had to bring in the period element somehow.
No, I feel like people do. And what do you think about like that kind of... This is a classic Rocco thing is, when they don't speak the same language, they're saying something at the same time, they're really talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
I'm over that shit. You know what I mean? Like, I
haven't experienced it before this, but...
Oh, really?
No, I feel like that's a
common
thing. Oh, really?
Like, they don't,
they're
don't
speak speaking the same language. The same language love. Even though
yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't like it.
Okay.
Now, there's another couple here, which is...
Oh, the porn couple. Same thing.
That's what I was
going to
say.
Let me just say, they're porn stand-ins. Okay, doesn't exist. That can't possibly exist.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, what were you standing for? You mentioned
I was
that.
A stand-in on Twin Peaks.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
And in Chud 2.
Porn stand-in? Is that what Chud 2 was?
There was no porn. No, cannibalistic.
Come on,
humanoid.
Chud sounds like a porn film.
Yeah. You've heard of cannibalistic humanoid underground dwellers, right? This was number 2.
Yes, of course I have. Mm-hmm. The thing I was going to mention about this porn couple, it's Martin Freeman and then this girl. I don't know what the girl's name is. I watched this movie the first time with my mom. And that was a painful scene to get through. Because it was a very lighthearted, funny scene, but
they were
when you're
both
with
naked.
Mom, and he's cupping her breasts and simulating blowjobs.
Right, that's what I was going to tell you. When you're a stand-in, something
great.
I have experienced.
Now you're lording this over us again. Yeah.
Oh, which, actually, I realized I have dated someone at work when I was a stand-in.
There you go. Yeah.
Anyway, the point
we
is when you're... Sorry, this isn't boring. Anyway, when you're a stand-in, you don't like go through the motions unless if the camera isn't moving.
Right.
You know, he didn't have to massage her boobs. Okay, fine. It was kind of funny.
Yeah.
But that none of that stuff. She shouldn't have had to do all that.
No, this I have here. Here's the first comment that you had me write down, which was walking out of a funeral, there was a funeral because Liam Neeson's wife has died. I feel like it's a memorial service because I was thinking about that. It's like in 5 weeks, his son wants him to start dating.
Right. His exactly. Thank
and,
you.
Yeah. But someone like sort of walking out of a funeral and we discussed that would be funny if someone did.
Yeah. Because like, it seemed it. Like, well, he this told like this some bad horrible. Joke.
Yeah. It's distasteful. Not because you were moved, but because right. of that. All right. We talked about love at work.
Work on your speeches.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I was going to say, I mean, there's a lot of nice cinematography and there's some beautiful views of the Thames. And it made me miss London and New York.
Mm.
And I feel like that's something we, you know, the that's Los Angeles true. River here.
Oh, please, it's like a it's creek. Awful.
If that. There's no, the like, beautiful views of the Los Angeles River.
Yeah. No, but there are a lot of
beautiful No, there's very beautiful views. Parts of Los Angeles. Yeah. I'm just saying, I like the city river views. I agree. Views yeah, and stuff yeah. like that, you know?
We talked it about did the set a tone. Year. The tone, by the way, also totally off. Okay, other quick storyline yeah. recap. The guy who can't get women, so he says, oh, he's going to go to America to Colin. Get women yeah. because he has an English accent.
Yes.
So what happens? He goes to England, and all the girls fall in love with him immediately, and they're all super, super, super hot. And that's the end of the storyline. Oh, wow, that's a lot of conflict there. And, by the way, that would never happen. And also...
Oh, wait a second. Wait a second. What? Well, with four women, no. But
four of the hottest saying, women in America,
his
basically.
His theory is sound.
I understand. Okay. Yes, English accents help. I understand
Either
that.
Either way,
I agree.
If you're this girl and you go to England,
right.
you're going to
I understand. But I'm
is that from your stand-in days, that accent?
Yeah. No, you weren't allowed to speak. When you stand in, you
right,
just so
stand
to stand
in, not a speak in.
Right.
Yeah. That was a different person.
But yeah. the point is, like, all the hottest girls, I mean, it was a very over-the-top, broad comedy moment, whereas yeah. A lot of the other part of the film was, you know, supposed to be realistic.
Right.
It was.
Right. It bothered you.
It was terrible.
I thought it was just a fun little, you know, side thing. But I do think that he would do well, although that actor, as was discussed... He's not the best Britain has to offer.
No.
In terms of looks wise. Right?
And he wouldn't get Shannon Elizabeth, Denise Richards, Alicia
Cuthbert.
Yeah.
January Jones. Yeah, very young January Jones.
That other girl.
We don't know who the other girl is. Yeah.
She was in that.
Now, here's something that happens in the movie with, I think her name's Mary McCutcheon, who is the Hugh McGrant. Hugh Grant's love interest, the young girl. Her ex-boyfriend calls her fat, and that becomes like a sort of running joke. People think she's chubby and this sort of thing. And I think that like what's weird to me is that like this does happen in real life.
What?
That like boyfriends call their girlfriends fat, and then they still go out with them for a bit of time. And I feel like that's awful, you know?
Well, wait, she broke up with him because of that.
She did. Oh. I'm just saying, I'm just conversation point. I'm
oh,
saying.
Okay. Conversation point.
Yeah. I think that happens. And
really?
I think it's sad. Yeah.
That is sad. Mm-hmm. I mean, that sounds like someone with very low self-esteem.
I know. But I like the running joke, though, because I also like, I was saying, talking about this recently in Happy Endings, that's the running joke with Pally, with Adam Pally.
Right.
They keep calling his character... Chubby.
Yeah.
And
he
it's
doesn't
just
even
funny.
Look
he's not
chubby,
you know.
But why do they do that?
Well, I mean, he is, like, I suppose, chubbier than the other people in. I mean, Alicia Cuthbert is in that. You know what
right.
I mean? It's like, obviously, next to her, he's going to look a little chubby.
I
but
see.
I think it's just it's funny. You know,
I see.
That they keep saying, we're like, well, is he.
I just don't even. Okay.
Now, you brought this up, and I was fascinated by this. You said this one guy looked like Brian, and we don't know his last name. The other host from American Idol in the very first
yeah.
season.
What is his name?
I always feel bad about that because I think, doesn't that guy hate life? Because, I mean, Ryan Seacrest, previous to that, just some dude, some
right.
schlub. And now he's like multimillionaire.
Yeah.
You know?
That guy, I think he's a comic.
Is he? Yeah,
yeah.
I think you're right.
I think
why they fired him is he was kind of caustic.
Oh.
Whereas Seacrest, he does strike that nice tone. between being schmaltzy, and then he's actually gotten better as each season's gone on.
Yeah.
And now I think he's really great at hosting that, because he's very funny, but he's not mean, but he can still like get something out of people.
Right.
He also has like to deal with all the crazies in the first, you know, episodes and stuff. Yeah.
I don't know. I've only watched it this season because Steven Tyler's on it, so I can't speak to Ryan Seacrest's career.
There was a comment in the movie that was funny. Billy Bob Thornton plays the American president,
mm-hmm.
and he comes over, and it's kind of like Hugh Grant is, you know, who's the old prime minister? Tony Blair,
mm-hmm.
and Billy Bob Thornton is like George Bush, mm-hmm. right? And there's a comment that Hugh Grant makes about, like, oh, well, I don't have your looks.
Oh, yeah. Why did you even leave that in?
I don't know.
It's so stupid.
It's so stupid because, yeah. like, on what day and on what Please. Planet is yeah. Billy Bob Thornton better looking than Hugh Grant?
No.
It's just not there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we'll talk about Joni Mitchell. Joni Mitchell plays an important part in this movie. And you made me write down Joni Mitchell.
I did?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, shoot. I don't remember.
You don't remember?
Why.
Well, I will just say
oh,
this.
I think he said something like, you like Joni Mitchell? What? Like, come on. She's an amazing singer-songwriter.
Of course she is,
like,
yeah.
Like, there's nothing.
She can be, like, a little bit
schmaltzy?
Maybe or schmaltzy funny? Or too emotional
I
for
see.
Guys. You know
oh.
what I mean? I guess. I love her. uh-huh. And I think that, to me, the best scene in this movie is that scene where she opens up the package and thinks it's going to be the necklace, and it's
right.
Joni Mitchell instead. And then she listens to this gorgeous new version of Both Sides Now, which
yes.
it's like, and you hear Joni Mitchell sing, and I hadn't heard her sing in years.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, her voice is so different from the first time she sang that song till now.
Wait, did she sing that originally?
Oh, yeah. That's a cover. Like, that's her covering herself.
Really?
And, like, in
it
the
wasn't
beginning.
Wasn't Joan Baez?
No, it's
okay,
her.
Okay, you're
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, I'm positive.
Okay.
And it's fascinating. And then mm-hmm. I think it underscores it, too, because Joni Mitchell, like, she's
mm-hmm.
she's single. You know, she...
She is?
Oh, yeah.
You know a lot about Joni Mitchell.
I do. I love Joni Mitchell. Yeah.
But you hadn't heard her in years, but you know she's single?
No, I, like, when I first saw this movie...
I see.
I went out and I bought Joni Mitchell's music.
I
have
see.
That song because I love the cover. It's like...
You should maybe
like,
see if she's available.
I should. Well, she's like
I bet you
40 years
what love
older
is.
Than me.
40?
I mean, come on. I think she is.
She's probably in her 60s.
I think she's in her 70s now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mm-hmm. don't think so. We will find that out later.
All right. So the other thing that you wanted me to ask was,
oh.
where is Hugh Grant now?
Like, that's what I wanted you to... No,
look,
no.
I'm writing down all the things that you told me to write down.
No, I didn't tell you to write that down. I just wondered where he is.
No, that's what I meant.
Hmm.
Yeah. How is that different than... If I say,
in my mind,
where
I'm
is
just...
Hugh Grant now? And you say, I just wondered where he is. That's the same thing.
No, I'm saying I didn't think it needed to be discussed here.
Oh, okay.
I didn't mean for you to write it down.
Yeah. Well, everything
was,
you said, you
write
gave
down
me a little thing. Okay. Now, you had a problem with the
We're
typewriter.
We're coming apart at the seams.
You had a problem with the typewriter. Colin Firth writes on a typewriter. But I feel like there's lots of writers like that. That my old roommate, he was a screenwriter, and he liked to write on a typewriter.
Porter?
You know? No, different. I've had more than roommates than just Porter. And also, Stephen King was like that for many years.
Stephen King is like 80 years old. No one,
Look,
no
Joni
young
Mitchell
moon.
Is older than Stephen King.
My point
okay.
is, I exaggerated, but no one writes in a freaking typewriter unless you want a scene where the pages fall into the water and the girl has to take her clothes off to get them and play weird music over it.
Right. Now, something that there's a movie that's played when the little kid of Liam Neeson's needs inspiration, and it's Titanic, and I was talking to you, I think... That movie is not a great movie, but I feel like it tells you how sappy you are, like how willing you are to believe in love, you know, as a concept and stuff like that.
I haven't seen it in a long time, so I don't know.
It's totally sappy. I mean, did you
like
that? Do you have fond memories of that movie?
Of Titanic?
Notebook's better. Notebook's better because the fucking end scene in Notebook, rip your heart out.
please. That I mean, whole movie.
No, but I mean that scene. Oh, man.
I love it.
Well, I have to say, that, like, I was going back to Joni Mitchell. I think that's the best scene in the movie. And Emma Thompson just, like, kills me.
Yeah, she's amazing. It's just, you know. And real, and the opposite of that weird guy having sex with all those women.
Yeah. I wanted to ask this. Okay. There's a moment where Laura Linney brings home Carlos. Mm-hmm. Or no, Carl.
You really want to Latinicize this guy.
Yeah.
You keep calling him other names.
I know. Well, first off, you had a problem because when he becomes... He takes off his shirt.
And he's oily and gross. It's gross.
You didn't like the oiled up look.
He's like waxed. It's weird.
Well, what I was wondering is, like, back in your dating days of yours, when you'd go out, always, like, have your apartment, you know, just so, and would you go out with, like, nice underwear and stuff so that you just...
This really is very personal. This I'm getting a lot of questions about my underwear.
Look, this is how this podcast has started. And it's just going to continue like this. Wow. We watch a movie, we talk about it.
What about your underwear?
No, I was thinking, I think about that.
You
right?
do, you think about your underwear.
I think about that. In case it's
being seen.
Totally, yeah. And I try to, like... clean up my room a little bit. Mm-hmm. One thing I don't do is is this bad or this is good? I don't know. I don't always take a condom, like in the first, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like that kind of jinxes it, I don't know if it does.
Not out of any kind of respect of going to hold off. It's just you don't want to jinx it.
Yeah, you don't. Because I feel like if you have it, then you're not going to be able to use it. You know.
But then if you don't have it and you need it, then what happens?
You can go out and get one. I see. And also, you can do a lot of things before you need that condom.
FYI. You know what I mean?
Yeah, hey.
Thanks for letting me know.
Yeah. Made me sad. Talking about Emma Thompson. You know, we were talking about, like, who's my Ryan Gosling, right? I don't know who it is. Mm-hmm. But I will say this. One of my favorite couples of all time was Emma Thompson Branagh. And Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah.
It was like...
Would you call him Branner?
Branner. That's how you say his name.
No.
Yeah.
Branner?
Branner.
Mm-hmm. Branagh.
Branner.
Branner.
It's the English pronunciation. You say Kenneth Branagh. Yeah.
So many things to look up after this. I refuse to believe it.
And anyway, like I love them. I thought they were like such a great couple. Hold on,
say
couple.
Piano. Say piano.
Pianer. Yeah. No, come on.
Okay.
But they were just, I love them.
And that's how I feel about, Rachel McAdams and Ryan Gosling. I feel sad about them.
Wait, did they get together after The Notebook?
Yes, they were together for a long time.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, sorry. They were so...
If there's one thing you will have learned.
All right, something that you didn't like that I'd like to talk about was...
Okay.
There's a scene...
We should wrap this up then.
Well, yeah. Okay. I'm going to edit it a little bit too. Yeah.
All my parts, I bet.
Keira Knightley, the Walking Dead guy comes up and he sort of professes his love to her through some cue cards, essentially, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't like that. You didn't like that at all.
I mean, first of all, how does he know the guy?
Oh, we're doing fine. I got one more page. Okay. Yeah.
Listen, he confesses his love. He says, I'm going to love you through cue cards. He says, I'm going to love you until you're old, basically till you're a sack of bones in the grave, right?
Yeah.
And then he leaves, and then she runs after him, gives him a kiss on the lips, but like a I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And then she runs back in and he's like, what does he say? Enough. Enough. Now, who knows what that means, but I guess it means he's over her now, I guess.
I think what he's going to try to be over to her. You
know? Because she ran out and gave him a conciliatory kiss on the lips.
Okay. First off, watching this movie with you and hearing your criticisms has made me think, it's like, do you like Rocos? Do you like being in love and falling in love? Because
are you crazy?
Because here's the thing, okay?
I like it with substance, with something in it. Not just, oh, okay, I love you because I see you here. Oh, okay, goodbye. No, I need it to happen in reality.
Have you never done something crazy to tell someone that you love them?
That's not the point. The point is that he's over. That part didn't bother me. It was that he was over her.
He's not over her. He's just
said,
saying that.
I'm done. And then they show up at the airport.
It's like Hugh Grant, as I referenced before, it's in Four Weddings and a Funeral, also Richard Curtis, where he says it's like it was important to have said it.
Do I like falling in love and love? Are you crazy?
I've
seen The Notebook 15 million times.
These people fall in love very quickly in Rocco's, and that just happens.
Yeah, but not based on nothing. This movie, it's based on nothing. And then they fall in and out of love. So you can't have any faith in it. He's in love with his girlfriend. I love you. I love you. Okay, okay. And then she cheats on him. Boom. 2 weeks later, he's in love with someone else. That's not love. What is love?
You know what? I think that, I don't know. I think like if you, and you also, you had a problem with the Christmas being a time where, I mean, Christmas is a romantic time.
Yeah, it is. But this movie made it like, they like said it three times. When else are you going to tell someone you love them but on Christmas? Like, well.
No, because Christmas is a time about like where you're around your loved ones and you think about love and the sort of, Valentine's Day is a created day, you know?
Christmas isn't created? Come
no.
on.
Oh, no.
Come on.
It's based on the sun, okay? And Jesus.
You are a religious nut.
Okay. Oh, heathen. Well, in any event, okay, so let's wrap it up here.
We're getting the wrap-up signal.
Yeah, we're getting the wrap-up signal. I still love this movie, and mm-hmm. you still hate it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Still based on nothing.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of scenes cut together to make people feel good about love.
Oh, no.
Just watch The Notebook if you want to feel good about love.
No, okay, so this was my choice.
Mm-hmm.
So let's reveal, and I don't know if you thought about this, and I'm putting it on the spot again. What's going to be your choice? Because next week we're going to watch
another underwear
else.
Question.
Yeah.
So it has to be a co, right? We're not watching The Notebook
we're
ever.
We're not watching The Notebook. We could watch The Notebook at some point, mm-hmm. but I'm going to focus on a Rocco.
Okay, I'm going to say Valley Girl. The greatest Rocco.
I've never seen Valley Girl. I don't even know anything about it.
What?
Yeah, no, I know nothing about it.
This is very exciting. I want you to see it immediately. Oh, I'm
so excited.
I know nothing
about it.
Who's in it? Nicolas Cage.
Okay.
Some girl that
back when he was like young and funny?
Yes, yeah. And cute. Yeah. His teeth hadn't even been fixed yet. Oh, this is such
does
a great
he,
movie.
Still
you're going to love
that, like,
it.
Peggy Sue voice?
That was a put on voice just for Peggy Sue.
Oh, I love that. That's the period we're talking about, like, right?
Yes.
This is like
it might
before
have been
that
before
probably.
That.
Yeah. Is he Nicolas Cage or is he his real name? No, you know what I mean? Like before that he went as what's his
what's,
you know, because he's
yes, I do know what you're saying, but no, it was Nicolas
Coppola.
Cage. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
No, he was Nicolas Cage.
Right. Okay.
When I was standing on Twin Peaks to bring it back,
great.
This
okay.
again, he came on the set one time.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's fun.
And so it was very exciting for me because it was right, you know, it was in the Valley Girl era, and
yeah.
I love Valley Girl.
Did you get to touch him?
I didn't. Talk to him.
Didn't talk to him.
Mm-mm.
You, again, you were a stand-in. You were not allowed to speak.
Yeah. You were never allowed to speak on set, ever.
You
it
walked
awkward.
In.
It was
awkward. And then it was
people were just like, oh. They were constantly lighting me when I was eating lunch. Never mm-hmm.
Well, that's fun. Well, I think that's where we should wrap up. I do want to
okay.
say, hey, wasn't that really good popcorn? The theater that we
was
had
delicious
today.
Delicious popcorn.
There was some popcorn.
It was much better. Oh, you hate me now. This Rocco podcast is tearing us apart. I also want to say just quickly, Harry Met Sally, we got to watch that.
Oh, we're definitely going to watch that.
Yeah, that might be the best of all time.
Yeah. I was thinking about having this, but I just thought it would be fun to do a
he said, she said
kind of thing
right.
first.
Well, yeah, that's
before
true,
because we
we're just
going to
agree on how
we really are,
how Harry Met Sally. But Valley Girl, we haven't seen.
Yeah, I have no opinion, so it'll be interesting. All right, well, thanks very much for listening, and this has been the Rocco Review.
But the girl meets another boy and likes him better, maybe wears a sweater. It's a Rocco Review. It's a Rocco